Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report, episode 10, straight from the Shepley Oval in Dandenong. Brought up in Springvale myself, played a lot of local cricket and football at Shepley Oval, and it's an absolute privilege to be joined by Bradley Hodge today. He's just checking out the Bushrangers second 11, the Sacker second 11.
Yep.
What have been your thoughts?
It's been pretty good actually. I'm surprised at how well Shepley Reserve is. Last time I was here, I dominated here, Melbourne versus Dandenong. I was good enough to get 100 in both innings.
Why did you have two innings?
I think we bowled... It was a crusty old wicket with plenty of juice in it. Will Carr was steaming in, the Pattinson brothers, and Peter Siddle was actually a young Siddle as well.
That's a good attack.
Yeah, good attack. But, no, I'm just here as an observer for Andrew McDonald. He wants to just see my opinion on a few youngsters, which has been pretty cool, actually.
And what about Will Carr? He played a few games for Victoria. Is he spinning some discs later on here at Shepley Oval?
Disco
he's a,
might
he's a DJ
be.
Now, isn't
he? He is. I think he was the man at the Marquee Club, I reckon.
Yep.
He was our man that used to slide us in the back door without standing in line, because we know that you don't like to queue.
I'm not queuing.
No one queues there. And I'll tell you what it had a bloody good hot dog stand out the front in the morning of about 3 a.m. in the morning, which was handy. But the big disco Carr had a short career disco.
Yeah, he got a few wickets, didn't he, in a few games.
I reckon his strike rate in his three or four games that he played was up there with one of the best of them. What happened to poor Willie is that during his first spell, he was down a fine leg and happened to roll on the ball. And he
Glenn
came,
McGrath style.
Yes.
So he's gone all McGrath, but that's not...
Not that bad, though. He just rolled on the hip. Like, Pigeon actually stood on and rolled the ankle and tore the ligaments. Disco just had a sore hip. David Hooks didn't like that.
No. Got to be stronger.
And just sent him out there. Walked in, basically told him, what are you doing off the field? You're meant to be a tall, quick, fast bowler that's mean and tough and angry, and you're showing little signs of that. Get back out there and bowl. So Will didn't understand how he reacted
later
to that.
On he's at the Marquee that night going, this is my future.
That's the future.
I'm spinning discs, I'm not swinging balls.
Yep.
What about Nice Andy update, Hodgie? You missed last game and they lost by 6 runs.
Yep.
You're back. Are we back in premiership mode?
We're back. Oh look, I was heartbroken when we lost by 6 runs, I must say, when I had to go over to India and do some business.
Business class?
I was business class, yes.
So you would have been hurting.
There's not, yeah.
Business class.
The champagne just didn't taste as good as what it would have if we beat LePage.
7 more runs.
But, you know, I had one for each run that we fell short.
Yeah, good.
So I would have liked them to finish. If you're going to lose, you might as well lose by 100, so they're not going to have 100 champagnes.
So you're playing Elwood. That's not as,
it's not as French
as LePage,
but LePage, number LePage. Not two.
Elwood won. Did you punch out 48 with 3 sixes?
Was it three sixes?
Yeah.
I planted a couple on. I hit one onto the grandstand, short pitch from the leg spinner.
Yep.
He tossed one up, then I hit one again. Over.
Is that into your grandstand? Is it named?
Yeah,
Bradley
our grandstand.
Hodge?
Yeah. No. There's. I've been told there's a lot better cricketers to have played at East Sandy than I have.
Does Guy Martin say that?
Big Dog,
he's in ripping form.
Yeah, Big Dog Martin reckons he's selling himself short at you know the East Sandy level. He's actually put his hand up for the number 6.
Yeah.
You know, for Australia. He thinks he's in that
Well, he's
group.
Opening and getting runs. Why yeah, can't he drop to 6? If Nick Mannitson can open and bat 6 potentially for Australia, why can't Guy Martin?
Well, he's known as a Big Dog. So he's probably in contention for the Glenn Maxwell Big Show sort of style.
Is this a self-created thing?
Yeah,
good on him.
Yeah, it's self-created. He thinks that the whole competition's there to watch him.
They probably are. Hey, what about E. Turner? He got a duck at number 3. You slotted him down to number 6.
Yep.
He smashed 63 on the weekend. That's actually his highest score for the club.
Yeah, Eddie Turner, nicknamed Dirtbag.
Yep. Self-proclaimed?
No, that's not self-proclaimed. I don't think you do that.
You want a better name than that.
Dirtbag, he's got a hygiene problem, the Dirtbag.
Oh.
Luckily, he doesn't make any runs because he doesn't wash his whites. I don't even think he has a shower.
Isn't there standards even at East Sandy level?
You'd think so.
And the nickname hasn't made an impact? Like, once you nickname that, you're going, well, I want to lose this. What's his name?
I'll tell you Dirty what he did Dirty. Have.
Oh, I'd just rather be
he,
bag.
He actually had a set of fangs. He's got a set of fangs on him which remind me of the early Peter Siddle when he came down from Maui.
The munches.
And I'd probably tend to think that if he keeps up with his form, the Dirtbag, then he could probably go with the 10 veneers across the front like Peter did, just for his appearance. But he was good, Dirtbag. He batted well. 63 career high score, number eight.
So I would say you're going to go on and win that game versus Elwood.
You think so. You'd like to think so. We need to get back on track.
Check it, cheers. We've got some answers there. New South Wales won by 171 runs over Western Australia. Queensland beat Tassie. Not too many highlights in that game.
No.
And the Sackers and the Vicks, the Bush Rangers, had a draw. Let's go with the big boy start.
Yeah.
There's no bigger boy in Australian cricket than Stephen Smith. And I saw some of the highlights of this. So I was watching a little bit live. He was, particularly to David Moody and, who's the other?
Macken. Yep.
Big lads. He's walking across to about 10th stump and then hitting him through square leg for 4. Young Moody and Mac, and they don't know about this. So he punched out 200 runs over the 2 innings.
They wouldn't have known what's...
What do you do?
That's the thing. They're just 2 young kids. Actually, extremely talented Moody. I like his style. He's tall, he's fast, he's a good athlete.
What's his different to Macken? They look quite similar.
No, they're very similar. For them, I guess, they just came across a rampant Steve Smith. And like all fast bowlers around the world, what do you do to him?
I don't know.
I don't know where you bowl to him. Because you bowl on the stumps and you think you'll get him and she disappears from your wicket for 4.
Yep.
You think you'll push it out to 5th or 6th stump and he just thinks, well, I'll just whip it a bit wider of square leg for 4. And then you go even wider, he stands there and carves you through point.
Yeah.
So
Mohammad Azharuddin used to bet like that.
These players are special. I think one thing is that we know that the skipper's coming in good form. That's handy for the future, Ashley.
So that's one of the big boys. A few of the other big boys had big games. Mitchell Starc, 2 hat-tricks.
That's unbelievable.
Right? I think Dave Moody, this might be first ever. He got 2 golden ducks, right? But he was part of 2 hat-tricks. Surely that's the only time ever. But just some stats. We love our trivia here on the Bowlology Report. Mitchell Starc... he's the 3rd Australian to take a pair of hat-tricks in a game. There was a guy called TJ Matthews who did it in a test match. Did it in a test match.
Wow.
2 in a game. Old Trafford versus South Africa in 1912. None of these dismissals required the assistance of any fielders. So that's what I did wrong with my second one, didn't
I? Yes, you relied on Warney.
I relied on Warne. If I'd summoned up TJ Matthews from 1912, I would have attacked the stumps and I would have 2 test hat-tricks, but not in the same... You got it in the same game.
That's probably where you went wrong.
Yeah.
You should have just gone for Imzamama or Huck dismissal straight at the stumps, full and straight, LBW.
But Warney looked a bit out of it. I wanted to bring him into the game. So I was actually trying to be unselfish. And you know what I get for an unselfish?
You get a drop catch.
I get 5 for 30 instead of 6 for 29, including, you know, a hat-trick on the honour boards at the Adelaide Oval. What about Albert?
And you'd probably get paid more as a commentator if you had 2 hat-tricks than just 1. Imagine a 2-time Australian hat-trick test bowler.
Well, it takes up 2 lines, not 1 line.
It's probably an extra 0 on your contract.
What about Albert Trott, right? Played for Australia and England. He took a hat-trick.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Is that Darren Patterson, potentially?
You should have done
that. I did think about it, actually.
How long do you have to qualify? 3
4 years. 4 years.
You were playing counter cricket anyway, didn't you?
Well,
I'd dislike if you did, but
yeah, I know.
Why didn't you?
Well, I like Victorian Blackrock too much, actually. Yeah. So
I could have hurt your East Sandy
I thought
career.
My future at East Sandy was there.
Yeah. Are they allowed overseas?
They are. We have got an overseas.
Well,
he's actually Scottish. Yeah, well, you take up... What happens at the club level is they have a point system. So if you played cricket for a nation, or you're a 5-point player.
Well, two nations, you're 10.
Yeah, true.
Did you think about that?
I didn't.
Hey, how about the Scottish guy? Has he gone on to the 50 sunscreen, not the 30?
No, he's been pretty good, actually. He's developing a little bit of a yellow suntan. He's coming to grips with, you know, the backing up pressure of tradie cricket.
Yeah.
You know that Thursday night is after trade. You're having a few after training.
Yes.
Saturday night, you're probably gathering to talk about who you're going to bet on the races on Saturday. So there's a couple more. And then Sunday's basically a wipeout for this young man.
Yeah. But he'll get better.
He'll learn.
He has to get better.
He'll learn.
Or he won't be back next year. So Albert Trott got... Right, this is in one innings, 1907. He got 4 wickets in a row. Then later in the innings got a hat-trick.
No way.
Another hat-trick. So he's got 7 wickets and 7 balls there. But not smart hods.
So is 4 wickets in a row a double hat-trick?
Double hat-trick.
Right.
Yeah. Getting 2 is not a double hat-trick.
Yeah.
You know, Mitchell Stark. What about this, though? Albert Trott, 2 hat-tricks in the innings. He's thinking he's pretty happy with himself. He's dumb. He's actually stupid. It was his benefit game.
No way.
It's his benefit game, so he finished it early and made no money.
No way. What is he doing?
So Albert Trott, I don't know about that. So, you know, in a benefit
game. Well, that's interesting.
Let it go the whole 4 days.
Yeah, that's amazing. For all those people who live in Australia, this is more to our Japanese English listeners and English listeners and Hong Kong
Spanish,
listeners.
I think they
and
have
Swedish.
Big benefits for their players.
We actually don't have benefit years over here. So what happens is that after you've been at a club for 10 years or 8 to 10 years, generally you'll get a benefit year.
It's
which
cash
is
in
a,
time.
Yeah, it's a tax-free sort of haven. Where you can run functions and cricket games, what Albert's done, and all the benefits go towards you. It's basically a pension fund, their method of, you know, giving a cricketer a goodwill pension fund after.
Well, there's no goodwill there.
He's
burning
silly.
His own benefit game.
What's he doing?
Back to Mitchell Stark, big boy, big ticks. He's got about 20 wickets in the 2 Shield games. Hazelwood's back.
Yep.
He just destroyed potential number 6 Australian batsman on the weekend.
Yeah.
Shaun Marsh, gone.
Gone.
Hilton Cartwright,
gone.
Mitchell Marsh, gone.
Gone.
6 wickets in the game, so Joshy's ready to go. And Patrick Cummins and Nathan Lyon didn't rip through them, but they've got overs under their belt.
Nah.
So I am the big boys, the bowling attack looks fine.
It's amazing, isn't it, that you just, you know, we're just going to wheel out New South Wales bowling attack for the test. It's an unbelievable, you know.
It annoys me.
Oh, it's
we had brief times in one day cricket. We had Paul Rifle, myself, and Warney.
Yeah.
So we had 3 of the 4.
Yeah.
But now it's gone the whole way.
Well, I just don't think that anyone can beat that.
Of the other big boys, Pete Hanscom, 100 runs in the game. But he did get out to Jake Lehman. I think it was his first class wicket.
Well, anyone can get wickets. I mean, I got out, caught down the leg side on the weekend. Wasn't a great ball, but it can get wicked.
Okay.
So anyone can get
out. All right,
out.
So you give me. So the big boy's okay. Okay, this segment, who's getting kicks or nicks at number 6?
Yeah.
Because we talk about this
every week.
This has
been 3 weeks in the making, this one.
Did you like that?
I love it.
That first one.
I love it.
So the guys that are getting kicks at number 6, you'd have to go Glenn Maxwell.
Yep.
Wouldn't you? 260s.
Yeah, look, I'm
100
all for
would
that.
Have just locked him in, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't think you can lock him out.
But
because 260s is perfect. That all that says to me as a selector is you're hitting the ball in the middle of the bat.
And at number 3.
Yeah. So for me, I think what people need to remember is that he was actually finished the game at number 6 last test match in Chittagong.
So it's his to lose.
Yeah, it's his to lose. And I don't think you're losing with... You know, 260s. Oh, I just don't see that. One of them was a dodgy LBW decision.
And another
the second
one was a
innings.
Tactic, wasn't it?
I saw that tactic. I was actually at the game when he actually got dismissed, and it reminded me of my dismissal in
Sydney,
the SCG
Sydney Test.
And it was.
So you got a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, and that's my point. My point was is that you're actually playing situational rather than the process where. I watched this. This was 2 minutes before lunch break for Glenn.
So he's thinking, I don't want to get out.
All he's thinking is survival. And
what's the perception of
Maxi? Well,
people
will say, oh, he can't play the short ball. Well, that's rubbish because they didn't see the last 3.5 hours that he was batting for. And it's the same with me. All it is, he's susceptible to the short ball. Are you kidding me?
It was a game scenario.
Exactly.
That's why you're one of the best, Bradley. These two blokes... they're sort of half kicks and nicks because Sean Marsh got a duck but 91 and he batted beautifully in that 91.
Yep.
Travis Head 67 and a failure. So yep. they're sort of in that middle zone, aren't they? Whereas Maxwell's backed up with two. And then two come out of the pack. It's interesting how you just all of a sudden are a contender.
Yeah.
Jake Lehman, 190.
Yes.
But was not talked about before that because he wasn't getting runs.
No.
And then another man who I think will play for Australia at some stage is Cam Bancroft, who was out of him and Joe Burns a couple of years ago. Remember that?
Yes,
and
I
then Cam
that.
Sort of didn't have a great year. Burns, he got the go. But he punched out 76, not out in 86. And Justin Langer, he's a very shrewd man. He's given him the gloves.
Isn't he a shrewd operator, JL?
Alfie Langer, how do I get another one of my guys in the Australian team?
Yeah.
I'll give Bancroft the gloves. So now he can bat number six or keep.
Can't have that, Justin. One of the things I will talk about, very shrewd. What was interesting is the captain, Travis Head, coming out, supporting Jake Lehman, saying he's ready for the Test cauldron. What are you doing? It's your spot.
I know.
Say, I'm ready for this Test opportunity. I'm playing well. I've got myself 67. What you say is Jake played wonderfully well. We accept that. But let's look at his history in the last six or seven games. He hasn't exactly set the world on fire.
Or he did really well, but he bats below me.
Yes.
He bats below me. Oh, okay. We all are better batsmen.
What we want to see is Travis Head with a bit of self-promotion award later on in the segment.
Actually,
if you can. We need to teach him.
I've got a social unpromoter award for this week. I've just created one. I've got enough. But I'm going to put Trav in there because how bad is it that... So parochial.
Yeah.
Teammates are coming out and just supporting their teammate.
Anyway.
There's hardly anyone going, you know what, I'd go the opposition number six.
Yeah.
Because I think he's good enough. There's none of that. So every time there's a headline, I don't click on it because I know that's just a teammate looking after
I want to throw someone else in that mix, actually.
Is this for Knicks or is this
no,
for
this
Kicks
is for,
or Knicks?
This is for Kicks, actually.
Okay.
And it's Aaron Finch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just throwing Finchy in there only because he's been one of our better white ball cricketers for Australia. Yeah. And we saw the impact that he had when he opened the batting
in
the third
back.
One there. Yeah. It just changed the dynamic of the game and the lineup straight away. Not only is he performed well, actually, these two games, I think he got 60 and 60 as well, same as Maxi. But if you want to throw someone in there who can have an impact at number six, Finchie's the man.
Scores quick.
Yeah, he's got a good strike rate.
Won't be overawed.
He's probably only just worked out his four-day game in the last sort of two seasons. Prior to that, he probably just bowled straight and hit him on the pad and he was in trouble.
Yeah.
But now he's sort of worked out a technique which he's comfortable with.
So give him a kick.
I think he's a kick. I think we can talk about him if we're interested in the future. He plays all forms of the games. He's captained his country. Might be someone who you might look at, you know, outside that box.
So who has got Knicks at number six is Hilton Cartwright, put in at number three against the New South Wales the Australian bowling lineup, to be honest. It's a pair.
That's a nightmare.
Because I felt like he was getting some real, maybe favouritism, like he was the man, and he's a fine young player, but a pair. Physically, where does that leave you? Mentally, where does that leave you?
Well, this is probably where the captain just thought, step it up here, boys.
Yep.
And this is an opportunity for us to talk up Daniel Hughes or Nick Madison or whoever it is, Moses Enriquez, anyone in our team for the number six. He stepped it up and just put a huge dent in his confidence and also his chances.
Yep.
I think that's... I would have liked... I'm not sure about this one from Justin, whacking him up to number three against that attack.
He's going
to
bat six, so just bat him at five.
Just bat him at five. Just see a little bit of the shine off the ball, a little bit of riding off the 156 grams, then come in and see what you like against... He's not going to bat in the top four.
I did see his big 100 against New South Wales last year at Perth. I just went back and watched the highlights on that sort of guy. Geez, he was lucky early in his innings.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then when he got going, he's strong, Cartwright.
He's very strong.
He's very strong, like him. But I thought, geez, he could have been out about four or five times in that.
Yeah.
I think it was 170 he got.
Look, I'd like to see him develop his one-day game potentially a little bit first before... I'm not sure he's ready-made test cricketer yet. I still think Mitch Marsh, further down the line, if he's bowling and bowling well, is probably a better... package.
Well, he had a nick as well.
Yeah.
He didn't have a good game.
No,
and Nick Manninson, he had a nick for number six as well,
yep.
opening up there.
Yep.
Wicket keepers. So this is our weekly chat about the keepers. We haven't learned out too much of them. Wadey, 9-17, two catches. Nev, 32-11, not out. So it's not bad. Carey, 36-20 and three catches. Not bad.
Not bad. We just haven't moved forward on that, have we? I think, look, the only thing is that I'm not sure you want to make a decision.
Should we have a referendum? Should we have a national referendum boom, who's keeping?
Maybe we should have a vote.
Because the selectors don't know.
No, I'm not sure we know either.
So maybe the public get to vote.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I mean, we've got four contenders now that JL's thrown Cartwright into the mix.
No, Bancroft.
Bancroft. We'll move for name's sake.
Okay,
we'll go with Gotchi. Why not pick Gotchi out of the second 11 here?
Just straight into the Victorian team.
Kept well yesterday.
Okay.
Why not?
We'll put him in the referendum
as well.
Hey, England are here. They're playing over in Perth. Now they're in Adelaide. Stephen Finn, not a great tour. He's already home. He's going home. He's been replaced by the late Zimbabwe all-rounder Kevin Curran, his son, Tom, who's come straight out of the English cricket team development team.
Right.
That's the South African under-19 team. Isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So South African goes through their system. He's playing for England. All-rounder. He's played white ball for England.
Yeah. I think he's for Surrey he plays for, doesn't
he? For Surrey. Look at his stats. They look pretty good. And he is young. But he looks a bowling all-rounder.
Yeah.
Genuine quick.
Yeah, look, they're struggling for options now, aren't they? Finn's a big loss, I reckon. He actually could have done some damage out here. Interesting selection for him. He wasn't in the squad.
No.
And then Stokes, unfortunately, goes out and he comes in. Doesn't even get a start.
Plunkett might be a chance.
Well, Plunkett bowls sort of 150-ish.
Good one-day bowler.
That's the sort of style you're probably after in Australia. Yeah, he's developed into a pretty good cricketer. Age mightn't be on his side, that's the only thing. But I think England is starting to look a little bit desperate. Yeah, I just can't see them winning, actually.
And the tour game, you know, Anderson got four wickets. He bowled well. The other quicks working into a little bit. There was runs, you know, 50-odds from the guys. It looks like Stockman will open. Milan maybe preferred to balance at number five. Vince to stay at three.
Yeah.
He got 50-odd. What about the Mason Crane train?
The Crane train, yeah.
People are talking him up. Like, he could be a big factor in this Ashes. 2-75 off 17. He was hit for 5 fours in 7 balls at one stage. But the positive English press said he showed calmness under fire. His stock ball came out really well. But where is he going to play a part, though?
Well, I don't know.
Adelaide is a day-night game.
Well, the only thing is you can consider...
Or the Gabba?
I think if you want to win any test match, I like to see that variety. I don't think they've got variety in their attack. So they nearly have to take a punt to play him, and hopefully Moen Ali's fit. If Moen Ali's fit, then that can change the dynamic of their lineup a little bit and give a little bit of a luxury to Mason Crane. If he's not fit, they're in big trouble.
It's not a bad idea because, you know, Ali will be quite tight.
Tight.
You've got your quicks.
Yeah.
And then Crane comes on. He's not bowling well. Get him off. And then maybe against the tail if it's turning.
That's the only thing. Against the tail, I'm just trying to think how they're... their bowling unit's going to take wickets against the tail. We've just seen Stark get 6 wickets in 12 minutes, cleaning the tail up.
Once again, the batsmen knew what was coming.
Yeah.
They could not
just
hit
miss
the ball.
It. So I'm worried how broad Anderson and Curran and co. are going to get the tail, our tail out, who actually bat pretty well. You know, Starkey, Nathan Lyon can hang in there. Hazelwood's batting seems to have gone downhill a little bit, but Cummo's a pretty gun bat.
All capable
of making hundreds. So that's where the leg spinner might come into play.
They just don't need these injuries. They don't want to know their rock-solid team for the first test. But unfortunately, there's little injuries. You know, Finn injured, now out. Ali's injury.
Yeah.
It doesn't bode well to their successful campaign in 2010. Everyone's fit. They play their best team for the first two games.
Yeah.
They take their best attack up early with David Saker to the Gabba. Don't even play the third one. Tremlett and Bresnan get games in. So they've got games under the belt. It was a perfect campaign.
Yes.
This one's not looking good.
No, they just so as don't a coach, need these just have injuries. To try and find methods they don't want to know their rock solid team for the first test. But unfortunately, there's a little injury, like, now, Finn injured now, Ali's injury. It doesn't bode well to their successful campaign in 2010. Everyone's fit. They play their best team for the first two games. They take their best attack up early with David Saker to the Gabba. Don't even play the third one. Tremlett and Brisbane get games in.
So they're nervous about what he's going to do.
It was a perfect campaign.
This one's on 60 or 70, not out.
Oh, give the youngster a bottle.
Yeah, it makes me fraction
24
nervous.
24 off the over.
But you never know. You never know.
Now, the cane train, not sure when it's leaving the station.
No.
Okay, what about the women's Ashes? It's interesting when you see that. Test cricket's so premium for the girls. Like, Elise Perry, she's going into her seventh test match. That's all. So you can see how much excitement would be around it, how much you'd want to, your big chances to get hundreds and fifers, you know, the personal glory there. And obviously it's worth, I think, 4 points in the on the table. So it's pink ball. They've had some practice games. Probably the only, there's a shout and given out here at the Shepley Oval. I think that's our first wicket we've got on the Bowlology Report.
Yep.
But back to the Australian squad. So Amanda Jade Wellington, the young leggy, has replaced the experienced leggy, Kristen Beams. And there was one, I don't know if you saw Megan Shute. Do you remember?
I had a look at that.
The in-swinger. How late did it go? It's had 470,000 views.
Amazing. We need to get her on this program then.
Yep.
You know,
well, that would
if you're getting 470,000 hits,
we'll take 100th of that.
We'll take 100,000 subscriptions to get her on.
But I reckon she's going to like bowling with the pink ball. 10 wickets in the 3 1 days.
Boom. Should be a handful.
Boom.
I think any in-swing these days is... People aren't used to it.
No.
We're so used to the outswing.
Bowls and LBs. Yeah. If you miss. With an outswinger, you miss. You might not even nick it.
No.
You're there again.
It's the new fashion.
BBL news. BBL news. The Sixers have signed Roy and Billings again. Two pretty good...
Not surprised by that.
Two pretty good players.
They're good players and... Coach Greg Shipper doesn't usually like to change
big
anything,
changes.
Or he's they're two banking players for them. I would have thought Jason Roy was a definite. Billings was maybe a 50-50 signing, I reckon.
I've seen Billings in the IPL. I like Billings.
Yeah, he's a gun.
But they will lose them, won't they, for the one-day games?
They do. So he'll
probably both of them.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, Roy's a shoo-in to open the batting there, even though he didn't start off. The tri-series early last year, but then he came back with a couple of big scores later on. He got a chance. Someone got injured, I think, from memory. And
I think we just
got
another wicket.
Someone might be on a hat-trick, are they?
Bowl first ball. I tell you what, we will call this delivery, the next delivery here. We'll just finish with the BBL, and the Scorchers went David Willey. They're only going one overseas.
You know what? We're not going to see an opportunity because we've declared the Victorian second 11. So
I think fair enough too.
Yeah, we don't want Cameron Valente to get a hat trick.
I think Nick Bolan, Scotty's brother, might have made a first baller there. So if you're listening to this later on, Nick, play it straighter next time. Mm. Oh, you might get some wickets.
You might.
So David Willey scorches, and they've only gone the one overseas. Is that just sheer arrogance? Is that just thumbing their nose at the whole competition, going, "Oh, we'll just go one."
What it is salary cap. That's what it screams to me.
I'm
going to push it straight out there and say that David Willey's a $60,000 to $70,000 player.
How many wickets does he get in his first
over? He's a gun.
He gets a wicket first ball. The one thing that hasn't got going is his batting.
He can actually fire. He can.
He's got 100 opening up in T20.
He has. Look, I like this guy. I tell you what he reminds me of when I batted against him. He reminds me of Nathan Bracken, where he just gets that extra half a yard of bounce, which you don't expect.
Yeah.
You just think it's little innocuous left arm swing. It hits high on the bat. And I don't know where he gets it from. He's got a sort of whippy-ish action.
I like Willey, I like Bracken, but there's still always, in my mind, there are poor man's Troy Corbett.
Oh, Ronnie Corbett. Ronnie Corbett. He was pretty good. He didn't like the bowl into the breeze, big Ronnie.
Or with an old ball. Again, set batsman. So it sort of limited his career, I feel.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with JL, he's got that many superstars in that team. Well, that's what I'm saying. How do they all fit in that salary
cap?
And
that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But more overseas, it's not that expensive. But, mate, they have set standards for years, the Scorchers. They might be still the team to beat.
I reckon. There's no doubt. They've got good players.
They're awesome.
Kling is a good player. Marsh is a good player.
Imagine if they have Sean and Mitchell for the...
Well, they probably will. They probably will. you know, and Agar's only getting better.
Ashton Turner, how good a player
Turner.
Is he?
What about the
Jai Richardson?
What about the attack? Richardson, Berendorf, Coulter
Andrew Nile,
Andrew Tai. Where do they fit him in?
There'll be a bowler bowling there.
Surely Stars can poach one of them somehow.
I wouldn't mind. A couple
wouldn't
of them. Because there'll be one that misses out who wouldn't be far off Australian selection.
Joel Parris is there, I think, as well.
Well, he missed virtually all the last year. I mean, he was the anointed one, wasn't he?
Yep.
He's still got a lot of bad.
Yep.
What about Hodge in the BBL? When are we going to hear news?
We'll hear
about
something.
You?
There'll be some news, I think, next week.
Okay, so exclusive to the Bowlology Report.
Yeah, I think what we'll
be
do.
Be listening,
is
kids, please.
Yeah, there'll be something happening there next week.
Okay, let's go on to our guide to. I saw a little tweet from journo Paul Amy. Like, Paul is fantastic in the Dandong Journal around this area. If there's rumours about club cricket or club footies over there, just actually tweeted a photo of the lunch. Now, I didn't partake in the lunch today. You
yeah,
did.
I did.
Where does it rank here? And how important a club lunch? How would you rank the Dandong Bush Rangers seconds lunch compared to the East Sandy lunch?
Oh, it's a little bit different. This has obviously got a cooked meal.
Yes.
Along with the make-your-own sandwich.
So you've got the best of both.
Yeah, we're actually a little bit like the Sri Lankan team where they ban the biscuits. We've got a tray of biscuits.
Sri Lanka have not. Sri Lankan cricket has not come back.
They've got to bring the biscuits back.
Bring the biscuits back.
Like, that's why they're not winning.
No.
I think Coach
you
Nick
Pothas... You bring that back, Angelo Matthews will come back, everyone's happy, they'll start winning, at home at least.
Yeah, well...
What else do you dip into your tea?
Well, that's where they talked about that witchcraft. Chandamal was talking about witchcraft was responsible. We're just saying it's the biscuits. If you don't have a good quality biscuit at tea time, and Dandenong have done that, there's a quality biscuit in there.
Yeah, they don't need witchcraft here at Dandenong.
No, so I'm very happy.
This is good.
I'm loving Shepley Oval. I love the grandstand, I love this... new setup they've got here.
I must admit, I played rep footy and rep cricket here. This is my area. We won an under-15s grand final for Springvale versus Noble Park in footy. Played Hatch, remember, under-14s
yes.
sub-districts? Played Hatch
yep.
for Dandenong here. There is no way I visualised as a mulleted, long-haired, mulleted 15-year-old from Springvale South that we would have the beautiful surroundings that we have here today. And I saw a message from Cricket Australia was released. And it really concerned me. It said last year, at any one stage, 23.2% of fast bowlers were injured, right? So you got 100 fast bowlers, 23 are out injured. This is horrific.
It's a lot.
This is an epidemic.
So
now, it's not all stress fractures.
No, so what's the guide? How do you,
how do you
fix
my guide
that?
Is, I think I want to know, well, actually, you know what the guide is? I want to know what the guide is.
What is the guide?
What is the guide to injury prevention? Now, 23% is unacceptable. They need to at least half that. Now, fast bowling is a hard art.
Very tough.
Yeah, you're running in like a 400-metre, 800-metre runner.
Yeah.
You land 10 times your body weight goes over and you release the ball, right? So it's an unnatural action that takes a lot of forces. And if you've got any imbalance or a bit of a mixed action or my core's not that strong or I'm a bit wobbly in the hips, you know, that only multiplies the stresses through your body. But surely, whatever we've been doing has not been working.
No, so I've got a question for you then, how to do it. I want to talk about the two different theories. The one's the sports science theory, which we've come into, you know, in the last sort of decade or a bit more. Or the old school theory, the Merv Hughes bowler training for 2 hours on Tuesday, Thursday, and then bowling a game. I'm not sure on the statistics of what injuries were back then. I know they probably have been probably similar.
Well, they probably weren't as extensive, but I thought when I was at the academy 12 years ago, we were at 18%. So it's gone up 5. Now, I don't know whether we've actually got more knowledge, so we're picking up more injuries. I know with the modified overs early, we might be saving kids that used to just finish cricket because they had a sore back.
True.
But my problem is, are they bowling enough to bowler harden their bodies to when they hit men's cricket or women's seniors cricket that they're ready to go?
I'd love to see a study about, back when we were youngsters, you played footy in the winter and cricket in the summer.
So you got your fitness up.
And I'd like to see if there's any correlation between that, because we know now that the youngsters, even football, especially get pulled out of
14,
junior
15.
Cricket, 14 or 15, and you're only really concentrating on one sport. Does your body then... struggle develop in other areas. So you play footy, you're good at
movement. I believe there's some stats coming out of America that specialising too early is leading to stress-related injuries because you're just doing the one motion all the time.
Yeah.
So I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
If you specialise, you're putting your body through different range of motion. If you're playing basketball, footy and cricket, say, that's okay. But if you're specialising and just doing one act a lot, kids are getting stresses at young teenager eras. And then I think even from a mental component, you know, in football maybe kicking or a goal late in the game or a touchdown, right? You know, does that help you when you're under pressure under cricket going, well, I've performed under pressure before? So I reckon the more scenarios you can get from the mental tactical side help as well.
Yeah, I think so.
But my guide is I actually want to have a guide, and I'll do some research for the next one, is how we get it from 23.2, which is horrific, down to 11. Because if you're going...
Imagine playing sport and one in four don't play. Imagine you've got four mates and one of them sits out for the whole season.
Well, imagine you've got 100 AFL players who bowl quick, and then and you go to them, listen, if you pick footy, probably 10 of you will be injured at any time. But if you choose fast bowling, 23 of you will be injured. So this is concern for actually getting the good talent of fast bowlers, particularly in those
AFL
states.
I'll tell you what, I've got a guide.
Yeah.
Flick bowling and start batting.
Okay, that's the solution from Bradley Hodge. And just a quick one, I did speak to Shane Bond about James Pattinson and his operation. So
there you go.
Shane
injury
was
number
one of the first ones.
Yeah.
This is going down the track. And he once he had it fused... So there is some, I think, screws and metal in there. They chip his was L5
doesn't
as
sound
well.
Right, does it?
Chip it from your bone, put it into where the cracks are in your back, and they reckon that, you know, it obviously
fuses
seals
together.
It. Yeah, and fuses it like that. So he didn't get injured. So he was saying in New Zealand, compared to Australia and England, they'll wait until you've had, in Australia and England, like James Pattinson, you've had five or six stress fractures. This is the last case scenario.
Yeah.
In New Zealand now, once you've had a second, they
straight
just...
straight in.
Yeah. So Henry's had it done. So I believe there's eight blokes that have had it done. Graham Onions in England.
Yeah.
And only one hasn't worked.
That's proactive.
So I think you'd take those odds, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And we are at the home of Jimmy Pattinson here in Dandenong. And there's photos of him all around.
We
want to wish him well.
Because I've only got about 5 minutes left here.
He'd be pretty nervous, I reckon. Like that's
I think it's this week he's having.
Yeah,
it done.
I'd be nervous as a fast bowler to have it done, but if he knows those results, that one in nine have failed. I reckon.
Well, it's
that's
interesting talking to Shane Bond.
Yeah.
Guess who rings him? Everyone. So he's spoken to the New Zealand guys. He's spoken to Graham Onions. He's spoken to Paddo. So for him, really good fast bowling coach Shane Bond.
Yes,
too, doing a couple
good.
Of tests for England, but it's almost like he's the grandfather. Hope, like back to that guide to the guide, we don't want them getting stresses.
No.
Particularly the second one.
I wonder if he'd
be...
But
if we do, this could be the process.
Well, I wonder if he'd be good to talk to about that process of how you stop it. Or would he do something differently? Because he had a couple of horrific back stress fractures. Would he do something differently? Or was it just his action? Was it the way he bowled?
Well, the interesting thing too, when he had this procedure, he was told, you won't be able to bowl as fast as you were, right? So you got to slow down. But he told me, once he got confident, he reckoned he bowled at the same speed. So that's good news for James Pattinson.
Very good news.
Isn't it?
Yeah, very good news.
Okay, it's time for that segment. Like, let's be honest, no one's, you know, particularly with the Spring Carnival happening in Melbourne, people are nervous about sending out, like, selfies on Instagram.
Yesterday was wonderful. Melbourne Cup Day here in Melbourne. The first cab off the rank was the great Australian leg spinner, Shane Warne.
Yes.
Warney yesterday was kind enough to post his winning TAB tickets. And
good on him.
He was happy to promote his good friend, Lloyd Williams.
Lloyd Williams, well done to Lloyd too.
Melbourne Cup, absolutely well done. But I think the thing which bothers me about Warney about this particular post is that the amount of money which he's actually won back. So the tickets which he had was $250 each way on rekindling, which nets him just short of $5,000. The second one was an each way bet on Johannes Vermeer. So that nets him about $750. Oh, not only did he win those two, thank you Lloyd, but he also got the box trifecta, which got him about $3,000. So Warney, there's no need to promote that you won yesterday.
No.
We know you're rich as hell.
Yes.
And you got plenty of cash.
Yeah.
Don't rub that sort of stuff into us lowlights who...
Yeah, this is not
we just don't win that sort of money.
State cricketer from 20 years ago. You go, oh God, what a win. You know, you'll be able to maybe do that front yard that he was waiting on. How would Shane splurge that money?
Oh, well, I've no idea, but I'd imagine it's some sort of fast car or a hotel in Las Vegas or something like that, or yep. some other technique. Maybe a pair of box jocks underpants that he's had in the past.
Very topical. He should have his own brand. Did he have his own brand? I think he did.
He did.
What happened to that?
I don't know what
All
happened.
All right, move on.
Next nomination is a fellow spinner, English spinner, finger yep. spinner, Graham Swan.
Oh, God.
Now, Swanee.
I was going to say Peter Such then.
Nah, it wasn't Peter Such. Wasn't Tufnell. Graham Swan.
What's Swanee
doing? Swanee has posted a photo of himself with a particular book suggesting to anyone with a father, brother, grandfather, uncle, mum, auntie, or sister, my book is out today, and it's the perfect Christmas present. Swanee.
I noticed he didn't go step. There's Have no you? Steps in there. No, no. step father, step
No, what
brother?
Happens to those people? Do so they feel sort
of
awkward?
Like, and they're the sort of guys who, people that would want a bit of
Have
a
you ever done that?
No.
You know yours is going to get sold at Christmas time.
But I think he's funny, Graham Swan. I thought there'd be a funny little tag where you go, God, that's funny. I've got to get the book. But that's just sort of, that's pleading.
That's
blatant self-promotion.
That is blatant self-promotion. This is just a little one from Pat Cummings. He's taken a leaf out of myself, you know, hashtagging Werribee Isuzu, that sort of thing. This is, take a look at these new hashtag fresh from Cruise Australia edition. They shall not be taken off my feet all summer at New Balance.
Oh,
Patty. We can
thing
see
is, he's
on.
Only about 23, so he's going to get some votes over the years.
Definitely. But yep, that's a real that's a real Ben Cutting Brad Hodge edition of self-promotion.
Yeah, that's
well done.
That's a little blueprint.
Well done.
Yep.
The next one's a bit
You're
of a random one.
These people.
Yeah, and this is another one. Kane Corns has made an addition to us, and he's pretty vocal on Twitter and
yeah, I wouldn't say he's a self-promoter. He tells it how it is.
Exactly. And that's why I've snuck him in here. Yeah. Because this is the first feed that I've seen of some form of promotion or such and such. So this is Kane to get into your local at Subway Australia for World Sandwich Day on Friday. Now,
and what's the photo like him smiling
just
with
just a big, big
what's he gone,
12 inch
chicken?
Yeah, yeah, he's gone the full inch, full 12 foot or whatever it is in Subway. We know that once that happens, he's taken a cut out of Subway somewhere.
Yeah.
Or he owns the franchise. We're not sure which one.
He could potentially do both.
Could potentially do both. Another little mention here from a serial Instagrammer is Dre Russ. So Andre Russell, in between him showing off his abs
in
every other one, Dre Russ has just happened to whack a little photo of himself, Pelé, and Maradona on there.
How's he got in with those two guys?
I don't know.
We don't get in with those two guys.
Exactly. The only person that we know that could is Google Gilly.
Gilly.
Is he
in the background there?
Well, Google Gilly wasn't in the background. He was. He didn't get a mention this week. Google Gilly, but he was active on Twitter in the races. A lot of self-promotion being the birdcage, but I didn't think...
It's too soft an option going the Melbourne Cup day.
It's not big enough for Google Gilly. And one other, the next one is the Great White Shark.
Oh, jeez.
Not Cameron White. Greg Norman again.
What's this one?
This is Greggy Norman posting a photo of himself half nude again.
Actually, I saw
this is the second form of half nudity we've
wasn't
seen.
Wasn't the first one outside? Was this one in an actual office?
This is in the office.
Oh my God!
This is in an office. Who doesn't wear clothes in an office anyway? But the Great White Shark.
I thought it was standard.
I just think he's just trying to get out there as much as he can to say that. Look, I'm 62. I've got a good rig, and this is the Michael Clark Dre Russ sort of KP showing the legs, abs sort of thing. Shark,
but
you're loaded.
Yeah.
Get out on your boat, get some marlins, do whatever you have to do.
You can take your top off in the ocean.
Yeah.
We're not going to smash it for that.
And we don't need you, mate. Show that to Chrissy. Chrissy Evert's waiting there for you.
No, he's moved on. You know he's moved on from
it. Oh, he hasn't, has he? Has he?
He's married another lady. That was 2 years
ago. Oh, right. Is that
have you noticed that?
Is that why he's showing all these nude photos? He's getting it out there. I've got a new found for Greggy.
I'm
good
bang.
Man.
Chris Evert Lloyd.
Good man.
She's moved on. Follow her feed a little bit. Okay, I'm doing votes.
So they're the nominations.
That's six for Norman.
Oh, we love
that's
the Norman.
That's just six.
The shark.
I'm going to go five for Swanee because he's witty, he's funny. You've got the book. Of course you've got to publicise it. We know that.
Come on.
That's just a plea.
Graham.
And to forget like stepbrothers and stepfathers and, you know, at Christmas, you want to get your stepfather a good cricket book.
Exactly.
And he's gone, you stepkids, yep. don't even buy him a book.
Nah.
That's atrocious. Funny. Four for Warnie.
Warnie.
I'd like to know how he'd spend that money.
Yep.
Three for Cummo, because I reckon he has been influenced by you.
Yep.
Dre Ross, two, because... You know, you want to come back from cricket and you're hanging out with soccer players.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how that helps his cricket.
Know,
one for Kane Corns. I don't reckon we'll see a lot of Kane's Corns.
Nah,
we'll keep an eye
for him. Yep.
I've got there was one from Bryce McGain late today too. He's got a hawk.
Goobag.
He's in Dubai or
Dubai,
something.
He was. He was there
what's
for...
What's the deal with the hawk?
I've no idea. He was there for the Lord's Taverners.
Was he?
So
a little mention for Goo, because I don't reckon we'd get... Bryce in a lot. He's not a big self-promoter.
No,
I'm going for the social media unself-promoter. I'm going for was it Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's daughter?
Right.
She was come to the Cup, and she's you know, a model, and but the way it played out through the start of Cup Day to the end, it was almost like, do you remember the Thriller film clip?
Yes.
You know, where it starts all nice and Michael's at the movies with his girlfriend, and that's a bit like Paris. She starts well and she's photoed and she's really good. And then there's a photo of her face right up against the window, doing a real, like, she looks like one of the zombies from that Thriller cast. So that's our first sort of self-promoter award. So she went all Thriller. She was like the cast of the Zombies.
Well done, Jacko.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good start.
Because she would have got paid so much.
So much.
And they'd have a nightmare of these photos later on when she went on Thriller.
Well, look at least she respects her father. That's a good thing.
Can't stop till I get enough. I think she'd had enough.
Yeah.
Good on her. That's at 10. And what about the surroundings? Should we do more outdoor stuff? It's good having the cricket in the background.
Yeah.
Potential, maybe an East Sandy night.
We can maybe do an East Sandy night. I think we need to take this place as people are crying out for us to entertain them.
We need to go. iTunes going really well. SoundCloud, thanks for subscribing. The reviews are going up.
Yeah.
Is there a nation that we're a bit short at the moment? Is there somewhere we could?
I'll tell you what's been good. There's been a lot of people dobbing in a few others on social media, which
keep
is good.
Coming.
I haven't got their names out just yet, but
we will name you.
I'll do that next time. We will name you, and because you are shaming those.
Yes.
We love that.
And we love you.
We still want to attract the Japanese. We know it's not their cricket season at the moment.
We're getting one or two a week from Japan. And I just want to go, if we're going to tour there, do we have to tour there? Would that generate
more
interest?
We could possibly follow the Formula One circuit around next year, you know, and really attract that European market.
Well, why don't we do that? Just the week of, we can provide some entertainment. And, you know, there's one guy we've got to take with us. So.
Who's that?
Michael Bevan.
Michael Bevan.
Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.